I think you're going to see in a couple minutes that there's a lot of truth there, and I'll even explain why I decided to use her, because again, you probably weren't expecting to hear from Oprah this morning at Navigation Church, but if you are joining us, I know we said it earlier, but if you're a first-time guest, we're absolutely thrilled that you're stopping by, finding out a little bit more about us. If you're a partner and you've been around for a while, good to see you again, and I will say, I think you're the caffeinated crowd. Because that first service, like, they were present and they sang, but you guys were, like, ridiculous in the worship. Way to go. I loved hearing it. Thank you for the band leading us. If you're watching us online, once again, I'm glad you tuned in to Nav Church here online. Don't know if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube or our website. Possibly you've downloaded our app at any of your stores. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. If you're ever in the St. Louis market, please stop by. Stop in, say hi, have a cup of coffee on me, and not actually on me. Don't dump it on me. I guess if you don't like the sermon, you can, but like, come in. We have a cup of coffee, tea, all kinds of stuff for you to just sit back, relax, and enjoy a morning service with us. So here's where we're at. We've been in a conversation for a while now called the Dream Giver. So I have a question. How many have been enjoying this one so far? Because I'm hearing a lot of positive things from it. Don't worry, I already have the sermon done, so that doesn't help me not today. But like, I really think this has been in a good season for the church. God gave this to us a year ago to do now, and it seems to really be resonating with people. So if you don't know at all what we're talking about, we've been following a guy named Joseph. There's two main Josephs in the Bible. One was the earthly father of Jesus. The other one was a son who got thrown into captivity way early in a book called Genesis. That's the Joseph we're talking about. He had this sweet-looking jacket that got ripped off of him and lied to his dad, and eventually we're going to find out that he's in a place called Pharaoh's house in Egypt. How many have ever heard of Egypt before? Of course you have. So here's the thing. Before we jump into this story, I was thinking this week. What does a tale... Because some people don't believe the Bible's real, that these are made-up fables. Now, personally, here at Navigation Church, we believe the inspired word of God, that there was a man named Joseph, and actually archaeologists almost prove it. So there's a lot of writings and drawings and pictures of this time period. So what does something 4,000 years ago have to do with today? And I'm going to throw out, I think Egypt is a lot more like America than you think. Okay, and here's why. So Egypt, it was in power for about 1,300 years, which is more than the Greek and Roman empires combined. So this is a huge nation with a lot of power. And currently, it's the most powerful nation in all the world that their culture goes out into other nations and actually has influence on them. Kind of sounds a little bit like America. Now, think about this. There are some nations around them that don't like them at all. Still kind of sounds like us, right? Currently, Egypt is in an economic boom. Egypt is doing well financially. People are able to find work. Can I say like this? Lowest unemployment of all time or in the last 20 years, whatever it is. Like, people are able to find work. There's construction projects going on. There's infrastructure happening in the community around. I'm going, okay, that kind of sounds a little bit like America too. And then here's what you have in Egypt. You have a Christian person, but then you have a whole lot of people who call themselves spiritual. How many have ever had a conversation with someone who says, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual? I mean, if you are, remember, you're the caffeinated crowd. Go ahead and, like, wave at me, or at least smile. Stop booing. I saw that. So there's spiritual people, but not, like, Christian people, not, like, religious people. And I'd say yes. And then see if you don't kind of fit with Joseph. Here's a guy who feels undervalued, who's financially strapped, working for a boss that he doesn't want to. And I started looking at all these things, and I went, I think we can maybe get along with this guy named Joseph more than what we want to admit, right? So who is Joseph? What's going on right now? Well, Joseph is about to interpret a dream for Pharaoh. This is a big deal. Why is it a big deal? Because Joseph initially interpreted a dream for, well, himself, and it did not turn out well. Right? Because he went to his mom and dad, he went to his brothers and said, I had a dream. Here's what it boils down. You bow down and worship me. And they're like, really? You snot-nosed brat. You'd have to read it yourself. It's in the Hebrew, though. They call him this brat. They actually said, we're going to kill this dreamer. So when Joseph came out to the field, the pasture, the brothers actually beat him up, threw him in a pit, ripped his jacket off of him, poured blood all over the jacket, took it back to dad and said, hey, isn't this your son's just coat? Like, they lied to dad, they sold him into slavery, he goes all the way to Potiphar's house. In Potiphar's house, we guess somewhere around 11 years, he's there, he becomes so powerful, so strong, so smart, Potiphar puts him over his whole house. The only person more powerful than Potiphar or than Joseph is Potiphar. And Potiphar goes, listen, you can do anything you want with anyone you want except one person, my wife. Joseph goes, got it. Until the day that his wife, Potiphar's wife, came to Joseph and goes, I want you to want me. That's where the song started from. So no, it's in your head now, isn't it? So I can't, don't sing it. They'll block us on Facebook. Don't sing it. Like, okay, so now Potiphar's wife is like, listen, Joseph, and the Bible says this, that Joseph is good looking. He's hot. He's in his like early, late 20s. Like, I remember what I look like in my 20s. I'm sure I didn't really look like that, but I remember what I think I looked like. So, like, Joseph was then. Potiphar's wife was like, I want you to, you know, come lay with me. And he's like, I can't do that. And eventually she rips the jacket off of him as he's trying to escape. And she's yelling down the corridor, I'm going to tell my husband that you tried to take advantage of me. So now, once again, Joseph's running for his life, only to find himself thrown into prison. And then God was so good, it actually says that God found favor with Joseph in prison and blessed Joseph in prison and left him in prison. Thanks, Jesus. We appreciate you for that. Like, are you kidding me? This is where we're stuck at? And so now Joseph's in prison. He's walking around, and one day, ready for this, in prison, he sees two guys who look down. I'm going to throw this out. I think everybody in prison looked down. You know why? They're in prison. I remember the week that I spent. It doesn't matter. That's not true. So it was my wife. Because she's not here this service. So Joseph's walking around, see two guys like downcast, and he goes, what's the matter? They said, we had dreams. And Joseph's thinking, last time I interpreted a dream, it didn't work out well for me. But this time I'm going to make a dream about you. And there was a cupbearer, and there was a baker, and they both used to work for Pharaoh. So why are these two guys in prison? Well, most people, these are more than jobs that you just bake food and drink wine. But by the way, if those two jobs are available for a living, I'd take either one of them. Like, you want a cupcake? This tastes good. Here you go. You want a Chardonnay? Fine. Like, unless the Chardonnay was poisoned, then you'd die. So it wasn't the greatest job to have on earth. But here's what a lot of scholars believe. They believed that there was an attempt to kill Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't know who was behind it. And these two were like primary suspects, so they both got sent to prison, trying to figure it out. So they had this dream one night, and they both had a dream that basically 3 days later, the cupbearer is going to be restored back to Pharaoh's house. 3 days later, the baker, well, he's going to be killed. Pharaoh's going to find out like he's the guy that was behind it. He did it. He was guilty of whatever charge was put against him. So Joseph, this is the most interesting thing that I found when I was first reading it. So Joseph standing before him says, I can interpret your dreams for you. They go to interpret the dream. Joseph says to the cupbearer, you're going to be restored in 3 days. All things good. But then he looks at the baker and he's like, I'll tell you in 3 days. Like, could you imagine having to interpret the dream right there in front of him? Because guess what? You then have to work next to him for a while. How many have ever had to be honest with someone in close proximity with someone? Like, how awkward is that? It almost points to your character, though. Can you be what you're supposed to be when it makes you feel uncomfortable to everyone else? If everyone else is cheating, if everyone else is lying, if everyone else is being deceitful, if everyone else turns in extra gas receipts to get reimbursed, although it's for a different vehicle, like, can you be who you're supposed to be no matter where you're supposed to be, even if the proximity of the person you're going to be honest with makes you feel uncomfortable for a season? Because if I was Joseph, I would have said, I'll tell you in 4 days. Get it? He would have been dead by then. I'm a chicken. Like, but he didn't. Joseph was who he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be. So the cupbearer is leaving because he got out 3 days later, and Joseph whispers to him, don't forget about me. Like, I'm here. I'm available. Tell someone else. Get me out. I didn't do this. Whatever it was that he said. So then the cupbearer went back and reported about Joseph 2 years later. Thanks, man. So 2 years later. Why 2 years later? Because Pharaoh was sleeping one night. And it actually says that he had a nightmare, and Pharaoh had to wake himself up from his dream. That's when you really study the way it says it in the Bible. How many have ever been dreaming before? You knew you were dreaming before, but you were trying to stop dreaming. And you can, like, wake yourself up out of that dream. So Pharaoh was so freaked out over a dream, he woke himself up, and he needed to figure out what this dream was about. So by the way, when Pharaoh's awake, everyone's awake, right? So he calls everybody into the courtroom. He calls everybody into the chambers. He goes, I have a dream. I need to know the interpretation of it. Here's what it was. I watched 7 cows come up out of the Nile River. They were big. They were fat. They were juicy. They were certified Angus beef. Like they're going to be in Chipotle pretty soon. Like they look fantastic. So I had these seven cows. They came up out, but then seven lean cows, seven ugly cows, seven ugly like heifers come walking up out of there. And all of a sudden, am I not allowed to say that? Isn't a cow a heifer? It feels like I shouldn't have said it though. They're shaking their head no. So these seven other cows, we'll leave Betsy's, come walking up out of there. And the seven ugly ones eat the seven good ones. And then Pharaoh has another set of dreams, same like it, but with barley, with this wheat. Good-looking stuff, bad-looking stuff. Bad-looking stuff overtakes the good-looking stuff. So he wakes up, and he knew that there was something wrong with this dream, but he didn't know how to interpret it. He got all these people around him, interpret. No one knew how to interpret it. And then all of a sudden, the cupbearer makes his triumphal return to the center of the story and goes, hey, man, I know a guy. Like, I do. I know this guy. He was in prison. When you, Pharaoh, I don't really want to bring up the details, but a while back, you were kind of hacked off at me. And you remember, threw me in prison for a while. While I was there, I had a dream, didn't know the interpretation of it. There's this Hebrew boy down there. Pretty sure his name was Joe, Joseph, something like that. And he was able to tell the dream, and he was right. I'm alive, the baker's dead. So Pharaoh says, get Joseph. And the most interesting thing is happening now, because Joseph is in prison doing what he's been doing for 2+ years all, right? I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't think in the last 2 years Joseph had a great meal, good bath, or clean clothes. So if you were making a movie right now, what kind of stuff would you find in Joseph's hair? Critters, yeah. And if you guys are going, oh, that's gross, like you're imagining it, not me. I'm throwing it out there. There is a chance this is the beginning of dreadlocks in the world. You might as well do something with it, right? I mean, it's a little gross, a little nasty. And all of a sudden, there's going to be a knock on his door. Dirty, gross, smelly Joseph. And it says this. I hope your preparation, I hope you've been busy preparing because opportunity just came knocking. And what was his opportunity? To go stand in front of Pharaoh. So here's kind of the first thought I want to throw out to you. If you feel that you're in a prison time of your life, in a pit time of your life, in a low place of your life, what are you doing to live in the life that you've always wanted? If you feel like life's not going the way that you want it, you're not the person you want to become, you're not living the ideal life with maybe the ideal spouse and an ideal marriage, it's an ideal job with ideal debt or whatever that might be, if you're not living there, what are you doing today to prepare yourself for the opportunity that comes? Because when this opportunity comes, we're about to find out Joseph was prepared for it. But how many times do we miss opportunity? Because rather than preparing for the future that we're desiring, we live in the moment that we're regretting. I don't feel like it's sank. So let's go a little deeper with this. So if you say that you want a college degree 2 years from now, 4 years from now, if you say you want to start a business, if you say you want to have a new house, if you have an invention idea that you want to do, right now, if I ask you for your phone and we could look up the amount of time you spent on Fortnite, Candy Crush, name the game, whatever it is, looking through ESPN.com, TMZ.com, or whatever it is, if I ask how much time have you spent on that stuff versus preparing for the thing you say is your biggest dream, which one has greater time invested? Okay, so if I said this to you, I said, I'm going to help you get to the dream that you always have to fulfill the desire that you've always wanted, and the only thing we're going to do is take away your cable TV. Thank you for your honesty. Figured someone would be catch up to me soon. But I know what you're thinking. You're like, but I'm not halfway through this season. I can't just, I'm binge watching. I'm trying to get through it. But what if I go, all you got to do is take that out of your life and you can have the thing that you say drives you, the thing that burns inside of you. Because eventually opportunity is going to come your way, but the question is, are you prepared for that opportunity to have the thing you say you've always wanted? And I guess most of us, and I'm going to put me in this crowd, because this past 8 weeks, one of the things that I had a desire to do was start writing some of the ideas for a book that I have. And just so you know, I have the outline done. That's it. I didn't actually wedge out the amount of time writing that I should have. Why? Because it's an unknown to me. And I've read my own writing. It's not good. Me write like me talk. And me needs fixing. Well, yeah, but get dragon dictation. No, it's even harder to fix. So when I do write, I have to be so intentional. I have to wordsmith everything, and I just pour over it. So guess what? If an opportunity came 3 months from now and someone goes, hey, we'd love for you to come preach and bring any product that you have, I don't have product. I have a podcast that you guys hear live every Sunday morning that someone else posts. So I'm going to just ask you the same question I'm asking myself. When opportunity comes, have we been preparing for the opportunity that God will put in front of us? And will you be ready for it? Can you receive this today? Can you hear this? Because Joseph is doing this. And then now, so here's what happens. You get Joseph standing in front of Pharaoh. They cleaned him up. They had to, man. He was ripe after 2 years. But so Genesis chapter 41, verse 15, it says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And Joseph responds with, I cannot do it. What? I snorted just a little bit there. But like, hey, Joe, we got to have a chat, man. Wrong answer. Right? How many? Like, this isn't the time where you work on your stand-up comedy bit. You just got punked, Pharaoh. Like, this is not the place that you, like, call Pharaoh out or say this. And here's why this is absolutely right for Joseph to say. Because Joseph just proved to us that if Joseph would have made his dream God, then why would God ever have helped bring his dream to reality? Joseph is standing in a place Joseph is actually in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh believes that he's God incarnate on earth. Pharaoh believes that he's a deity. You can go do research for yourself in history. This is proven. The Egyptian pharaohs believed that they were gods on earth. So here's what Joseph just said to this God on earth. I know someone more powerful than you that can do it. This is what Pharaoh said, I know that you think you're God, but you've already proven that you're not because you can't do everything. So now you're asking me if I can do it. I cannot. Why? But God will give Pharaoh the answers to his desire because there is a God outside of you. And here's what could happen. I could stand here. I could use my gift. I could take it to my own advantage. And once I answer your dream, you will say to me, what gifts can I give to you? And I would say this. I want to go back home. It's about a 6-month travel by foot at 70 miles a day. I just want to go back home. Give me this one thing to go back home to. And Pharaoh probably would have given him that gift. But on this day, Joseph decided to make God the God and not his dream the God. Because he's literally standing in front of a person who thinks he's God and goes, actually, you're not. Which, by the way, just guts on its own. And he goes, but don't worry, I serve a God who can. So all of a sudden, Joseph starts telling Pharaoh, and by the way, me making this movie up, here's what happens. Pharaoh tells him the dream. He goes, hey, Pharaoh, here's what's going to happen. The 7 fat cows, I don't know why 3, 7 all of a sudden, but 7 fat cows, 7 fat sheaves, you have 7 years like plenty coming. And you better be ready for it because after that, you're going to have 7 years of a massive famine. Everything's going to get wiped out. Then, I love this, Joseph then goes into telling Pharaoh what to do. And in my mind, Joseph like backs up. He sits down, he kicks his feet up, he starts popping grapes. Like, he's the answer man all of a sudden. He looks at the cupbearer and goes, hey, you, bring me that wine. Like, so now Joseph's telling Pharaoh all these things. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to create. Here's what you need to organize. Here's what you need to plan for. And gave Pharaoh all this information. So God not only gave the dream in the most unlikely way to the most unlikely guy. So today, I showed a video of a lady named Oprah that you weren't expecting, but I promise you now, the message that she had was right. I don't believe in luck. I believe in a predestined plan that the creator of the universe has laid out that I get to be a part of it, the unfolding here on earth. And you go, oh, that was luck. People that believe in luck don't believe in hard work. It can't. But when you're preparing yourself and you work, and then all of a sudden, Genesis chapter 41, verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. So verse 40, this is beautiful. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. only with the respect of to the throne will I be greater than you. Here's my interpretation of this. Pharaoh stands there. Joseph gets done giving his dream, gets done with the interpretation. That gut feeling that Pharaoh knew that something was wrong, Joseph just truly answered it. Then Pharaoh started looking all through his courtroom at all the people that he had gathered. None of them were able to interpret a dream. None of these losers could help him. None of these hacks had a clue. Then he saw Joseph. Oh, he was so lucky. 2 years earlier, he happened to get thrown in prison for a crime that he didn't commit in a palace he never should belong to in order to be at a place that his brothers never planned on. And now Joseph is going to be positioned that 7 years from now, when the world is being wiped out, he will be in the greatest position of power to save his entire family that's coming. What luck. In the moment, in my mind, in the movie that I'm creating, all of a sudden Pharaoh turns and goes, there will be no one more powerful in this kingdom but me. I'm thinking that every person that's around this courtroom all of a sudden turned and bowed their knee in front of Joseph to recognize the authority that was just given to him. And Joseph is standing there, overwhelmed by the moment, and his eyes fill up with tears. Have your eyes ever filled up with tears? What happens to the light that's coming through? Doesn't it kind of sparkle? And would it be a chance that through those tear-filled eyes, he looked at what looked like stars and moons and suns bowing in front of him? The power of the dream. The power of the dream can get you through anything. The power of the dream that if you let it drive you, it will let you prepare yourself. Can I say this? In the off season, so that when game day comes, you're ready for it. What are you doing to prepare for the God-sized dream that he's put inside of you? So that I think the number one thing we need to do is surrender our dreams to God. If your dream becomes your God, then why would your God ever bring your dream into reality? In your work, in your life, in your friends and family and coworkers and everything, do you go there to give God glory? Or do you go there to just get a paycheck? Just because they're family? Just because it's fun? I think everywhere in our life we should go with the intent of bringing God glory. Then the next thing is, what are you doing to prepare for the dream that God has for you? So I need everyone to say this with me. Say practical. Practical. Give me practical. Okay, because listen, right now it's a good ethereal thought that I'm throwing out there, but what is the next step for you? So the next, I'm going to say 5 minutes, I'm going to give you the most practical steps that I possibly can to help you decide where are you supposed to be, what were you created for. When I'm done, I'm going to encourage you to take a picture of the screen so you have it written out, and then I have three questions that you need to answer. If you want to continue to live the life you always have, don't take a picture, don't write it down. I love you enough to say it. Like if you don't want to be better you, then just hear this, let it be head information. Don't let it turn into a revelation or a realization, just let it be head information. But I'm now going to give you, I've already quoted Oprah, so now I'm going to quote Japanese philosophy. And I'm going to tell you about something called the ikigai. It's a concept in a Japanese philosophy that actually means a reason for being. So there's going to be a picture. And right there in the middle of it, I want you to discover your ikigai. Or can I say it this way? I want you to discover the reason for you being, for you to belong. And in order to do this, four things in your life need to converge. The four things are your passion, your mission, your vocation, your profession. Your passion, what drives you, what moves you, what do you wake up in the morning for? Your mission. Here at Navigation Church, we're here to help people take the next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's our mission. It's why we do what we do. When it comes to your vocation, everybody thinks a pastor has a vocation. I agree with that. I believe that every businessman, businesswoman, nurse, doctor, teacher, stay-at-home mom, business owner, business dealer, staple salesman, I believe everybody can have a vocation. But the question is, are we giving God glory in that vocation? And then the last name thing is your profession. What do you do? So how do I help you define each one of these? Well, the first thing I'm going to say is, when it comes to you finding what you are supposed to do, what are you good at? Seems pretty logical, right? So this morning, we normally have a play up here. But due to illness, my brother couldn't do the play. There's no way I'm stepping in to sing the play. Why? I'm no good at it. Here's how bad I am at singing. This is a true story, fresh off the presses. When I say fresh off the presses, this morning. I had a little music going. Actually, at this time, there was no music. I was doing acapella, whatever. That's how bad I am. So, like, I'm just singing along, worshiping Jesus with all my heart, like, finding God. Angels were coming in and out of the room. It was glorious, glorious. Cammie walks by and goes, wow, you sound bad singing that. The angels left, the glory left, like, it was horrible. Like, it got frigid cold, and I'm like, she loves me enough, and by the way, we can joke like that, but she's like, you got to get music on. Like, you got to help the rest of the family, because none of us can find Jesus in this environment with your, you know, B-flat voice going right there. So, here's the thing. There are things that I'm good at, and there's things that I'm not good at. I don't think I'm good at singing, but I think I'm okay at talking. So, guess what? I'm not going to be up here singing the gospel to you. I'll tell you about the gospel, though, right? So, question number one, what are you good at? Question number two, what do you love doing? Have you ever heard the phrase, if you do what you love, you never go to work a day in your life? Absolutely true. Absolutely true. I was out of town all beginning of this last week, but Thursday, I wanted to get up here. I wanted to see the team. I wanted to talk. I only lasted about 4 hours, and then they sent me home. That's a whole different story, but like, that's what I love doing. Here's what I don't love doing. I don't love doing fast food. I know this for a fact. Why do I know this for a fact? Because when I was 16 years old, I thought I should go to work for Taco Bell to make extra money. So I go, I do my whole orientation thing. They have you watch some videos. They sent me over to St. Louis. I got a shot in my rear end. I don't know what it was. I think it was like pure mercury. Like, it hurts so bad. So, like, it was not good. I come back. I go for my first day of training. I'm back there making tacos. This is like, ooh, that meat's hot. Get back to it. You would not eat fast food if you just saw me working there. I get done after 3 hours. I walk to the car. See you next shift. Walk to the car. Sit down. I'm like, I am never going back there again. I worked 3 hours for Taco Bell, and I would have walked out if I didn't have more character. Like, it was miserable. I didn't even want to take the paycheck they were willing to give me for 3 hours. I took it, but I didn't want to take it. Like, I felt bad because they spent more on training me than they did on me, like, giving them value making tacos, because I couldn't even get 10 tacos with no lettuce right. I just didn't care. I hated it. But then all of a sudden, I found something I was good at. So I love this. Find what you love to do and do it. But then here's the next step. In trying to figure out what your ikigai is, where do you believe? Where do you belong? What does the world need? And if you go, well, I'm just a plumber. The world needs you. We do. All I know how to do is accounting. The world needs you. It's kind of weird. I've never been put off by dead bodies. Great, we need funeral home directors. The world needs you. I have an idea, it's a small invention, but man, I think it would make housewives' life a lot easier. The world needs you. Like, what is it you need to create, invent, do, be? I've always wanted to be a police officer, I always wanted to be a fireman. The world needs you. So then the final one question would be this: what can you get paid to do? Kind of important, you know? Because I think I'm good at singing. I love to sing. The world needs my voice, but ain't nobody paying me for it. It doesn't quite converge the way that it's supposed to. So what are those four things? So take a picture. Get this in your head. I want you to discover your ikigai. What is your reason for being? And by the way, I'm keenly aware that I've just gone to very, very practical level. And to quote Oprah, it's because opportunity is going to meet preparation. Okay? And so now I just gave you Japanese philosophy. If any of you have a religious spirit, I'm just digging on you today. I love it. I love it. So the last one is Anthony Robbins says this: most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, but underestimate what they can do in a decade. So right now I'm going to give you a practical step of now what do you do when you're trying to discover your reason for being. So here's the first thing I need you to write down. 3 years from now, what do you want? Where do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to have made? Some people call this a dream board. Some people call it your bucket list, your goals, whatever. But this is specific. 3 years from now, if you own a business, you want to double it in size, right? What is the 3 years from now? If you're looking for a spouse, 3 years from now, I want to be married. I want to encourage you to do this. Don't be like 6'4", you know, bronze skin, 44-inch chest, 32-inch waist. Like, I wouldn't be like doing the, because chances are you'll get 5'4", pale white, 28-inch waist, 38, you know, like your dimensions will be, don't do the package, do the content. I want a God-fearing man. I want a God-fearing woman. I want someone who's passionate about worship. I want someone who loves family. Like, I would write what the content that you want, because ask Cammie, the package never comes the way you wanted it. So, okay, question number two, who can coach you? Who's someone that's where you want to be, that you can go and say, I want this? They don't have to have a perfect life, but if they have a great marriage, you come and go, how does my marriage look like your marriage? Okay, I have debt, you don't have debt, I can't afford a car, you have six cars, I'm coming to you to go, can you tell me what you know about this? So who can you find as a coach? Final thing is, what can you start today? Notice that I didn't say Monday, which is just tomorrow. Because here's what happens. We're all going to start the diet on Monday. Never comes about. See, the philosophy actually has this, it's a time displacement belief. That you think if you can displace the time and get to a future location, you'll have more drive and determination to accomplish it then than you do now. But here's what, you won't then, because you're lazy now and you're lazy then. In the name of Jesus. I promise, it's true. So if you say, I want to be this 3 years from now, what do you start today? What do you start in this moment? How do you start becoming dedicated here? And if you go, oh, I'm gonna have this, you're probably overestimating what you can do in 1 year, but I promise you, you'll undervalue what a decade can bring you. And so I know I just came super practical here at the end, but if we've been talking about dreams, if I'm talking about releasing you to your dreams, and all I do every Sunday morning is motivate you with you believing that God's on your side to help see it through, but then don't give you some type of practical steps for you to start walking out, you'll be all inspiration, but there won't ever be any preparation. But I want you to be inspired to become what you've been dreaming of, but here are the steps that you need to take, and here's the question I have for you. What is your icky goal? Icky guy goal. What is the thing that you've been created for, the purpose for your being? And then what do you start today to start moving towards that? How many would say, I'm ready to start moving? I'm ready to start letting this dream that's inside of me come alive. You mind if I just pray for you right here in this place? God, I thank you for every person in here that has a dream inside of him. Lord, the prayer that I said earlier that I want to repeat right now is this. I pray for everyone that is here pregnant with something greater than them. I pray that their gestation period has come to full term. I pray that the baby that they've been carrying, the dream that's been moving around inside of him, this idea that's been kicking around, I pray now, God, that it not only is growing, but it begins birthing around them. And I say that they see life and life abundant about them. I pray for any person who thinks, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I don't know how to do what it is he's telling us to do. Lord, I pray for a spirit of peace to overcome them right now, that they don't have a fear about changing jobs or going into a place that they've never walked to before, a relationship they've never had before. Lord, for technology, that you no longer are afraid of technology, but you not only embrace it, you get it. Lord, let our dreams come alive inside of us. And when those dreams come alive, and when we're standing in front of our Pharaoh, may we make it all about you and not about us. And today, God, may we give you glory by what you're glorifying through us. If you don't mind just keeping your eyes bowed, your heads bowed just for a minute longer, here's why I keep saying that God has given you a dream. God